You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Starting something fresh today. Had my first consult. I'd like to show you the brochure.
Face peel?
What are we dealing with here?
Open it up. You don't need to look at the front.
I'm getting new jibs.
I'm getting new jibs.
The full rack of new teeth.
Like they do it 2 days. Upper, lower, you're done. New teeth.
You get to choose like Caber. Like his are over. His don't even fit in his mouth. They're like piano keys.
Well, they couldn't match it in Calgary. His best friend was the dentist, and he heard the lady go in the back, and she's like, "This is the yellowest I got to match."
Yeah, but I'm saying these are brand new. Are they? What are those called? Veneers?
No, veneers are. These are implants.
They're called veneers. Implants. Veneers. It's the same thing.
No, it's not. It's
his
not.
His wife's a dentist.
Implants.
Does she do it?
No, she doesn't do that. That's not like a dentist that will be doing it. That's a surgeon, in fact. And I mean, they're all technically surgeons.
Right.
But implants, they're taking all your teeth out, and they are going to reinsert with a screw brand new teeth.
Yeah.
Veneers are like, they go over your teeth.
Right.
They don't take your teeth out, is my understanding.
Yeah.
I want out and in.
Yeah, you want a full new rack.
You want a whole new rack of teeth?
Does your wife have a connection?
She might be able to hook you up. Yeah, I believe she could.
Don't you have a missing tooth on the side?
I got a bunch. I don't need to get into what's going on in there, but
you know
what's like a...
Well, that's why you're getting new teeth.
Yeah.
Well, they're garbage. They're a mess. They're brutal.
You played 20 years of pro hockey.
Yeah.
Like, Pronger, like, he had goalposts. For years, and I forgot about it, and then he showed up one day. I'm like, you got new teeth.
Yeah, he had the biggest gap in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really significant gap.
But I remember talking
to him. Ty Domi got new teeth, too.
Yeah, McCabe, Domi.
Oh, yeah, Caber got new teeth.
But those guys, like, when you see them, it's such a significant difference.
But it looks great.
It does.
It's not like it's a downgrade. When you pull out the new teeth...
I will say this. It looks great, but as soon as you smile, someone says, that looks great, but that guy's got fake teeth.
Oh, for sure. Every day of the week. Everyone knows it, that they're fake teeth. The worst, I mean, who am I to judge? You do whatever you want. But when you only get the one rack.
Yeah, and the below is like brown.
Yeah, they look like yellow Smarties on the bottom.
The top are brand new, and sparkling white.
And these are barbecue corn nuts below.
And the bottom rack is a disheveled mess.
Like, that's where you, like...
Like, you crawled out of a dumpster and gnawed on a corn on the cob with only your bottom rack and then smiled.
Yeah, like, that's... If you get half done...
You've got to fully commit.
Well, you're a mess. Like, if you only financed half of... Like, there's no way people would be like, okay, the top look fantastic, but the bottom is a disaster.
I've actually never seen the non-bottom where you're just a dumpster below.
Google image Rudy Giuliani.
Why, does Rudy got some
Rudy's bad? Got his top rack is in pretty good shape, and the bottom rack is out of control.
Come on.
I'm telling you, and that's Rudy Giuliani.
Well, yeah.
Like, you would think the Ukrainians would be able to hook him up with a new pair of teeth.
So when your wife's a dentist, can you just get a cleaning at home? Will she do that at home?
No, you don't do it at home.
She doesn't bring a kid
home. It's a hygienist that does the cleaning. She doesn't clean teeth.
Dude, I just figured, man.
Yeah, but you got to go in there. But I get, like, coverage and stuff like that. I'm not paying for anything unless it's a significant...
See, I would... that must be tough, though. Think about it. Now, you guys have been together for a long time, but when she got into dentistry, was there a time where she pulled you aside and said, like, we gotta take a look at this?
Well,
because you do have nice teeth now.
Nah, my teeth are okay. I mean, they're nothing to write home about, but they're not brutal.
But that's the thing. Is there a time where after school, or not after school, like after dinner, she's like, hey, you gotta get upstairs?
No, she hasn't been that.
Like, you don't seem to me like I know you don't floss. You don't floss.
I do floss, but I only floss the front teeth.
Yeah, you don't get like the back.
The back teeth are impossible to floss.
See, I have, because I'm older, I've got metal in my teeth. The fillings are like silver or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Which are awful. Like, if you look, I have fillings top and bottom on the sides because I had, you know, grew up on candy or whatever. And I've got the space between the teeth. I'd like to get them clean, but I would like to get a nice grill.
A full new rack?
I don't think this is
I don't
something
think it would be
cheap,
me.
I'll tell you.
No, it's going to cost you a lot of
that's
money.
That's a $10,000 easy.
No, oh. I heard no, I heard it's $3K a tooth.
It's going to be about $80,000 for you to get new
what?
Teeth.
Get stop.
If you want a full
even in the back,
if like, you want a half rack of ribs up top and a half rack downstairs,
$80,000.
I'm telling you, it's going to cost you $80,000.
We need a GoFundMe for you.
You're talking 30 teeth or whatever. Do the math.
We gotta go. We gotta go to GoFundMe.
We've got to get you new teeth via GoFundMe.
No,
I'm telling you, it is very expensive.
It's not $80,000. I've had people done it for $17,000.
Where? At Kensington on the corner? Where are you going to get that done?
At the Pacific Mall.
At the Pacific Mall. Those teeth will last you 3 weeks. You won't make it to Halloween and they'll be falling out. I'm telling you, man, it is not going to be cheap. And they drill. You're going to be in a lot of pain.
I was going to say, isn't it painful?
Yeah, I know someone that got the full treatment, and they didn't screw him in properly. This guy was in so much pain, he had to go back. I think they had to remove him and re-rack.
No.
See, that's how bad it was.
Is it worth that amount? Like, I think the veneer.
I think 80 is way over the top.
I'm telling you, I guarantee you it's at least $60,000.
Dude, that's insane. That's
I'm
not
telling
happening
you.
But I think movie stars and that have them.
I might have to go garbage dumpster on the bottom and like tie
I
it up.
I think that's your move.
And then you just two at a time.
What I don't understand.
Every month you do two at a time on the bottom and you chip away at
it. What, are you financing them? Hey, November, I just got another jib in the middle.
Yeah. They're not winter
tires.
That's
not a bad idea. If you go full rack up top and then you chip away on the bottom one at a time.
I don't think you can do that.
I think it's
I'm pretty sure you've got to fully commit. Shay just sent a picture in of Rudy Giuliani. Take a look at his yap. Anyway, I support it. And believe me, once you get it, yes, people are going to notice, but you're going to be smiling. People with fake teeth and new teeth, they cannot wait to show off those teeth. Because it's like getting a new car.
Day. Yeah, it's never a bad day.
No.
Okay, but who has the best smile out there, and is it fake teeth?
I think Joe Biden's got fake teeth.
Yeah, he's like 85 years old, isn't
he? I know,
he?
But he's got like a rack of teeth. Like, Trump's got fake teeth.
Oh, for sure. Everything about him is fake.
Yeah, he's got fake teeth.
Like the wig, even. I'd still like to know. I wonder if he's seen Strutty's guy in Turkey. Like, there's something weird about that wig anyway.
He claims it's real. He always has. But no one spotted him without it on, so as
jibs,
of now.
The jibs, I don't know.
Does Sundin have fake teeth? I think Matt's
I know
might.
James Neal does. James Neal told myself and Gord Miller, he's had this whole row, the top row, knocked out like 20, like 10 times.
So, but when we had McCabe on, because we talked to Brian McCabe about getting fake teeth, and he said he wasn't going to do it until after his career.
Right. Yeah, his nickname was Ass Face because his teeth were just a disaster.
No, I know, but there's no point in getting new teeth if they're going to get knocked out again.
I think what happened, Neil told us one day that his parents came to a game or something, and the first shift, the guy swung his stick and knocked out like 8 teeth. So when you get them knocked out, I think they organically just, they drill in those new ones. So maybe players nowadays get them put
like
in
one at
because
a time.
You get them knocked out.
Well, that's true. You can get an individual implant if you have a tooth that falls out.
Right, get knocked out.
Yeah. Anyway, I am in great spirits today.
Well, yes.
Because I'm back in the game. The Lions covered the number last night, and the Packers got the win. It was the perfect situation.
It was double time.
But is it a greasy win in your mind? Because all I saw was
NFL Twitter last night was like just on fire.
Replacement referees was trending, put it that way.
That's how bad it is right now. Remember, whatever it was, 4 or 5 years ago when the refs went on strike?
Yeah.
And the replacement referees, they were a disaster. They were not any worse than what we've been witnessing through 6 weeks in the NFL.
So are you seeing what you saw last night? Now, your team won because of it.
Yeah. Oh, without, I can say that. And I'm not.
And you're not feeling bad about it.
Listen, is a win, but they blatantly jobbed Detroit.
What was illegal face contact or whatever the hell those calls were?
Twice.
Yeah, that's a joke.
And they were both phantom.
Yeah.
Both phantom calls on Trey Flowers.
But let's say Green Bay dominated or played very well and deserved to win, and those calls were in Detroit's favor. Would you be yelling and screaming for for replay or anything like that.
This is the problem. You know how I feel about replay and review.
That's why I'm saying, like, where could you get to on replay in the NFL?
I don't know what they're going to do, because there was a pass interference that did not get called. There was a blatant pass interference on the Packers, and Patricia didn't challenge it. And I think he didn't challenge because he knows the way things are working in the NFL, they were not going to reverse it. They put forth a new rule where you can challenge pass interference, but you never get it overturned. So I think already coaches are like, I'm not going to waste a timeout on something that I know isn't going to go my way. So it was awful last night. I mean, I felt for the Lions. Now, they did it to themselves. They should have run away from that game. Yeah. Like, they were up 10-0. Stafford threw that fade to Hockenson, where Hockenson had it and dropped it. It should have been 17-0. They have to basically take a field goal and then go down the other way. 12 men on the field. That leads to the Packers being able to regroup, throw a touchdown on the board.
Didn't the Packers have 13 men in the field, too?
They did. The next possession.
Not called.
And it didn't get called. And the Lions obviously are freaking out about that. But it should have been 17-0 and then maybe 17-3. And instead, it's 13-7. And we know the rest is history.
Yeah.
And Matt Stafford couldn't close the door in the second half. Like, he just could not get the job done.
I got a lot of respect for what he said at the end of the game, though. Look, this is the NFL. Things go wrong. We're not going to sit here and like, you can play the blame game, but we didn't win the game.
Yeah. What goes around comes around. But that's a big inter-division loss when they had that game.
How happy were you when the receiver went down at the one-yard line instead of running it?
I think it was Williams. I didn't even know who had the ball because I was yelling at the screen where,
where Detroit,
the seas parted.
They just let go.
Yeah, it was a strategic move. The Lions were like, we got to let them score so we can get the ball back down 5 and have time on the clock to go and hopefully put up 7. And if the Packers, if Williams decides, I'm going in, Lambeau leap, I'm taking the 6 and I'm going to get my touchdown, the Packers cover the number. And then I would have been in here just going crazy.
Yeah.
Instead, he had the presence of mind to drop. They take the knee twice and then kick the winning field goal. How often do you see a walk-off field goal like that? That was pretty cool. Mason Crosby, a kicker doing a Lambeau leap. You never see that.
He needed help to get up there. He ran into the end zone. And
I think the fullback was like, all right, we'll help you out.
I think he's a small guy. Because I don't know if he was going to be able to jump up and get in there. So he got a little boost in.
Yeah.
Good for him. That was his Rudy moment.
That's the only time you're going Rudy at Lambeau if you're a kicker.
Yeah.
Because the fans are probably going to remember when you miss a big kick at home late in the game, and then you better not be jumping
into
the stands.
They'll never remember that. Never.
Yeah. So that was really cool for me. The fact that the Lions covered, but the Packers won. I needed that because you were chipping away at me big time.
Yeah, it was 4 in a row for me, wasn't it? Or
it would have been.
3 in a row.
Yeah, so you were at 3 in a row, and that would have been 4 in a row last night.
So that's a hunch going
back. But it's awful. Isn't
way.
It awful losing when it, like, so it's like it's your pick next week. You're like, now I can really double down.
I think it's New England Jets, too. It's Pats, Jets. That line's going to be like 11.5.
Well, you saw the Jets, what they did to the Cowboys.
I might lean towards a sneaky backdoor cover. Give me the points. As of right now, I might be taking the points. But, I mean, the reality is it's all about the officiating right now in the NFL, and everyone's freaking out. Clay Matthews on Twitter, who's not even involved in the game last night, he's injured for the Rams, and he's carving up the officiating.
Yeah, there's...
So, Jim DeOpolis.
Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders.
Yeah, he was pissed.
Nah, he's a Lion alumni.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his team, but still, he had the right to be freaking out last night.
Yeah.
So, Jim DeOpolis will join us around 5:30, longtime NFL official and ESPN rules official, and we'll get his take on what the NFL could possibly do to clean this up. We've got Ray coming up from Scotiabank.
Yeah.
Leafs Wild tonight. This is a trap game for the ages. I keep hearing people throughout the city being like, points night, this is it, Tavares with 3 goals tonight, Marner. And that might happen.
It might happen.
But they better not show up thinking it's going to happen. Because Minnesota always plays well against Toronto. They always do. And
they're ugly games. Like watching, I went back and watched the Ottawa-Minnesota game yesterday. And that's some paint drying. And if Minnesota comes in here and tries to smother and just play, you know, keep it close type of thing, you know that's what Brucey wants. Now, Dubnyk will play tonight because Stalock played, and he's going to need to stand on his head. But it was an afternoon game, too, so back-to-back. But there's some extra rest time in there because the guys actually had some nutrition and relaxing last night if you're Minnesota. So you're right. It could be a trap game. Would you start Hutchinson tonight and Freddie tomorrow in Washington? Just a thought.
I would have, but it doesn't matter because Freddie's going tonight.
Freddie's going. But do you not want to gain some confidence in your backup? Give him a nice home start against a team that has one win this season. You're right. It could be a trap game.
Either way I look at it, tonight would be a slam dunk night for your backup goaltender.
That's what I thought. And then tomorrow night, you know.
No disrespect against Minnesota, but you got Washington tomorrow.
And Washington's going to be pissed. Washington's going to be pissed because they lost to Colorado and didn't look that great. They fell asleep in the first period. We're down 4-0. So, you know, whoever's in net tomorrow in Washington's going to, like, it's going to be a grind for them. So I get it, but I also wouldn't mind early in the season to see a guy like Hutchinson get maybe a favorable home start.
Yeah.
That's what
I would have gone with him tonight, but Babcock.
Yeah, I know. That's what they do, and
this
that's
is his game plan. It has been his game plan for 20 years in the NHL, and he is not going to change it for anybody.
Yeah.
So Freddie's going tonight, and you can watch the game on TSN4. Ray will be live from Scotiabank Arena just after 5, so we'll catch up with him. Bobby Mack in studio later in the afternoon. We're tracking the ball game. It's 1-0 Houston already, top of the first. So Houston with a little bit of a rally early against the Yankees.
Altuve with a bomb.
And Washington, it's over. I mean, they just laid a beating on St. Louis. I got to think they complete the sweep at home tonight. So we'll track that. There's a lot to get into here with what happened in the football game last night, where unanimously, even Packers fans are like, the officiating is a joke.
Yeah.
Another unanimous outcome was how people felt about LeBron James' comments last night.
Oh,
the king is taking a beating right now.
He's brought some fire upon himself.
He has. So we'll get into that later in the afternoon as well. Tiger's going to have a new book out. What kind of content are we talking about here?
I think it's just going to be a...
Yeah.
Coors Light, lob ball.
I think so too.
But G-rated.
If it was tell all, if it was like, hey.
He said in our group text today, that would be the greatest sports.
It would be. It has the potential to be the greatest sports book of all time if Tiger says everything.
If he flat out
everything.
Says
everything. But you know he's not, because he said in everything else that's been said in the past, there's been a bunch of lies and a bunch of errors. There's also been a bunch of things that nobody knows about himself that were not even close to being talked about.
He's not outing himself for anything.
I would love for him to be like, you know what, when things were going pretty tough for me and I wasn't happy in my marriage, I was hitting the Waffle House. This is what was going down. This is what I was doing. And, like, you're right. It may not be good for his image.
But it's out there anyway, and it would sell a lot of books, man.
It would be the greatest.
I want to hear what I hope he commits to is... He writes in when he was faking about injuries when he pulled the shoot on tourneys.
Yeah, like grabbing the ass cheek.
Yeah, he's like, I'm
like
coming
just
clean.
Just shanking a chip over the green. Ah! Yeah.
The Arnie Palmer, I was hungover and sprang it, and
yeah,
I just
exactly.
said, I'm done. Okay, that I'll read.
Yeah.
That's a chapter. The injuries that weren't really injuries. I want to read that chapter.
Yeah, it was embarrassment, not injuries.
Yeah. We got a captain coming in studio, so I will be, finally, I'm going to have a partner in crime here. You two losers and two captains in the studio.
You're going to be, I think, depending on who it is, I think you will take a back seat to him.
Potentially, although I think in many ways we're aligned.
Really?
I think so. Yeah. Toughness, respect amongst, you know, the city,
yes,
people
exactly.
in Toronto,
yeah.
celebrity status. We're effectively the same guys. Two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
You're going to want to hear this. We'll get to that next.
Who would you say is the captain of this show on Overdrive?
I like to think I try to be as even keel as possible. I would assume Hayes is probably
there you go.
The guy that keeps everything on the rail.
We got to go, buddy.
That's the answer.
We
got to go.
You know, I would choose Hayes.
Oh, get out of the studio. Come on.
You represent the NBA as far as the sports media is concerned there in Toronto.
I heard you on DP's show the other day. It was a great spot.
Oh, thank you for that.
Wow.
I think Hayes is fantastic at trivia. He is the captain of trivia.
Hayes, you see, when it comes to trivia.
That's a good point, Brian.
Captain.
Yeah, so I have been anointed the captain of this show. Very rarely do I get joined by a fellow captain. You were never a captain in your NHL career.
Nope.
I had the A for one game, and I took a stupid penalty against Edmonton, and I smashed my stick in half against the glass, and they
peeled it off my jersey.
So that's not captain material.
No.
And this is a real honor because
we never played a game, so you can't comment on it.
Well, it doesn't matter. Radio, man. There's a captain. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Captain of our show.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Wendell Clark is in studio. The captain himself.
No. I remember. Remember, we had about 4 years of no captain. I think it was 87 to 90 till Rob Ramage got the C.
Yeah.
And the coaches, you know, you rotate the A's through the uniforms. You know, trainers would get lazy after a while because the coaches would put different guys down.
Yeah.
So they started putting eight guys had Velcro on their jerseys.
And they just stick it on?
They just stick it on. And so you'd have a bad game and the guy would come over to you and rip the A off and give it to that guy. And so... So it looked worse. You'd be out during the game and you'd look at a piece of Velcro. Oh, you got the A taken off you last game.
There you go. Must have done something wrong. Yeah, the players are the ones that are making that determination.
Yeah, rotating the A's, that was always fun.
Well, it's great to have you in here. This is going to be really cool tonight. During the pregame, we had Kelly Chase. We've had Chase on many times with us. And usually whenever we have Kelly on, we end up talking about Saskatchewan and he starts talking about growing up playing hockey there and getting in fights and, you know, different things that were going on back in the day.
Dealings with cab drivers.
Yeah. That was in New York, I believe. I don't think that was in Saskatchewan. But he actually brought up the baseball team that he played on.
Yeah.
Back in the summers, I don't know, I guess in the 80s it must have been. And he mentioned you were on the team, your brother was on the team, Joey Kosher was on the team. He went down this list of like...
You either had to have 200 minutes... To get on the team.
Right.
Or you couldn't play.
Didn't matter what your on-base percentage was.
No.
Just make sure you
always
could fight.
You always ran inside the first baseline.
Don't mess around. And there's going to be a piece that's going to be done on that team. It will debut on the pregame tonight. The toughest team there ever was. And Wendell, you were a part of that. That team. What was that like playing baseball with, you know, a bunch of buddies from back home?
It was a riot to play on because we were all away from home playing hockey. Started in junior somewhere. Barry Melrose had already made it in the NHL, and then we all kind of made it. But we all got to go home, a town of 1,000, and play in every Sunday at these different small-town community fairs. And you got Joey Kosher and Corey Kosher and Kelly Chase and myself and my younger brother Kerry, my older brother Don. Neil Clark, another Clark, and maybe a Blosky, a Kevin Kaminsky. We had...
Teams you were playing against, did they have any idea what the hell was... Did they know, like, no funny business or...
Well, some the teams around Kelvington would know, and then... Because Joey would play third base. And Joey had the baby face. You didn't know that he was the toughest guy on the field at the time. We all knew it, but sometimes the teams start chirping at the third baseman, and we're like, oh, no, don't start with him.
Right.
But everybody just played hard. We played fastball and on a Sunday like it was, you know, game seven in a Stanley Cup game. That was just how the guys played. And really, probably one of the toughest guys was our pitcher, Brian Finch, farmer from back home. He was one of the best pitchers in the area. He's the reason we were in all the games is he could throw a ball, and he'd throw 6-7 games on a Sunday. And he was probably the toughest guy out of us.
Really?
The wiry guy that tried to calm us young guys down. And Barry would be catching, and he'd be hitting bombs all the time with home runs. He'd be the last guy. He's the last guy I know that was using a wooden bat hitting home runs and fastball.
So you guys were all using metal bats.
We were all metal bats, and he had that. We couldn't even lift his bat.
Like a Babe Ruth bat.
Yeah, but we couldn't even touch Barry's bat. That's how heavy the bat was. But he was probably the best long ball hitter I've seen in fastball.
So any funny business? Did anything ever get carried away playing the games? Or
no, like I was playing. I got put out on second. And it's an argument because you're getting sliding in. There's an argument going on. I think it was my first year in the NHL. My brother was the one that hit the ball when going to first, and I was just eliminating the double play. And then there getting to be a little bit of a hassle going on, and nothing started yet. And I'm arguing with the guy, and all of a sudden the guy's not there anymore. My brother rounded rounded first, and kept coming and boom, took him out right in front of me because he says, "Well, Wendell's in the NHL. He can't be fighting anymore." So it's like, so he was making sure I wasn't going to get in trouble, so then he sidelined the guy. So it was like everybody was sticking up for each other.
Just amazing.
I need to see video of this. I wish there was video, because that would be so incredible. Like, did everyone understand who you guys were? Like, were people asking for autographs and stuff? Or
yeah, no, there was a big, but it wasn't that big a thing, because we're all from there. We're all from the area. We're in tournaments every year, all year, every Sunday. We're all playing ball in the area, so it's yes, everybody kind of knows who everybody is, but that's just kind of the you know you knew a lot of the players and all the teams.
I felt like if you guys had that much fanfare and were quite a tough team, was there one team that were like, okay, we'll battle you guys? Like you there's always like one oil rigger team or some farmer team up and be like, we can take care of you guys physically.
No, there's a lot of great battles. You get into the finals, whether it would be Wadena down the road if they're playing well and had a good ball team, it would be a tough battle. Hudson Bay Loggers just north of Porcupine, there where Kelly was from, they had a team that could play. Trent Yanni would be coming down. He'd be playing for the Kelvington team. You know, Trent Yanni would come and play with us a little bit. So it was a lot of great rivalries, because a lot of teams we're going to get up to play the game. Like, our game one on the morning was as hard as if we got to the finals, because they wanted to beat all the NHL guys that were playing. So the game was starting, the Sunday morning was starting with a lot of fun.
Wendell Clark in studio. You mentioned that pitcher. It was a local guy, farmer, toughest guy potentially on the team. I remember we brought that up with Chaser as well. Like, I always envision the farmer that stayed back somehow being the toughest. Like, oh, you guys, you get soft going to Toronto and New York and St. Louis and L.A., but the guys who stay on the farm, you don't mess with them when you go home. Is there any truth to that? Or
yeah, well, the thing with even playing the game and fighting and battling with guys on the ice, the biggest compliment I could give guys were that guy, he might not be, but that guy's farmer tough. It's not anything to do with size. He knows how to use his pound for pound. The guy might be able to bench press 700 pounds, but if he doesn't know how to use it, it really doesn't matter how big he is. And I always nicknamed that the farmer tough guys. Like, you know, Marty McSorley was a big barrel-chested farmer strong guy. Those are strong guys that knew how to use their body and their weight, and had nothing to do with working out in the gym. It was throwing hay bales or hitting cows over the head with 2x4s to stop them, because either that or I had to run a mile to go catch them. So we're going to stop them right now.
Right.
But anyways, I know we're in here to talk about this stuff, but I think the real reason I'm here.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Is to decide and hand out the official jerseys for the guys.
Wow.
Is this like a captaincy unveiling or something?
This is a captaincy unveiling.
Wow.
Look at this.
Look at this.
There's assistant.
Noodles with an A on his jersey.
Noodles with an A on his jersey.
What do we have here?
Oh, dog.
Number 92.
With an A on his jersey. Here we go.
It's got Velcro.
Hazy.
What do we got here?
All right.
The cap.
Got the C on it. Like, I've been listening to this stuff driving down the road day after day. Let's make a decision.
Thank you. This is, I'm going to start tearing
There's
up
the here. official letters on the jerseys. And
I'm putting mine on.
I'm not putting mine on.
It was tough. I got
to put it on.
Put that jersey on. We got to,
I refuse to support it. It's not real.
It's not. These jerseys are quite nice.
I never made it. You got to give me this. Give me the C.
I'll give you the C, but I refuse to put the A on.
I don't want to ruffle your.
No.
Well, that means that's Tavares, Pinball, and now Wendell.
That's true.
All three of them voting the kid the cap. Wendell?
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Well, it's good. No, it's
good.
This
means the world to me, man.
Well, I just did. I said we're all good. No, we don't need tie downs on the jerseys,
no,
guys.
No fights breaking out here. No fights breaking out here.
We'll wear this every day. That's the highlight of
it. Yeah, this is going up on my wall.
This is your alumni coat. This is your alumni coat.
Yeah. I'm wearing this to the next Leaf game I go to.
And that there's no Velcro on the C.
Yeah.
It's for good.
How about that?
That's
pictures, Instagram, Facebook, that's got to be out everywhere. Because when Wendell makes that call, it means something.
The captain made the call.
Thank you, buddy. That means a lot.
Awesome, guys.
We appreciate it. Well, this can be a really cool unveiling tonight, again, on the pregame show. And the Leafs, I mean, they're off to a decent start, but high expectations this year.
No,
they got a new captain, so.
I think it's maybe as the players and the coaches, they're not as happy right now. But deep down, I think this is a good way to start. Last year, we had 50 goals in the first six games.
Right.
Yeah. And at the end, we couldn't still put the puck in the net like that. So this is a way of, I think, the guys, and it's up to us, the guys in the room, to figure out, okay, guys, we better pull together. This is a good thing, I think, mm-hmm. for the team, that it's hard to score, and because at the end of the year, it's way harder to score goals than it is at the beginning. So hopefully this is going to pull the guys together to make them a better team.
Yep, I think you're right. I mean, you've dealt with high expectations in Toronto. You know what it's all about. You just got to play through it.
Well, what would you say to a guy like Mitch Marner? I mean, we've talked about him ad nauseum about the contract negotiation and that. And it's not like he's had a terrible start, because he's on pace for 82 points. But I think when you sign for that much, I think everyone, the expectation is this guy's going to go from 94 points to 100+. You know, what would you say to a guy like that to at least just put him at ease heading into his games?
Well, I because all these guys have pride. They're all good hockey players. They're going to have pride. They're going to put that pressure on themselves. They know the big number they got. So they're going to want – and so they're squeezing a little bit harder than probably would be normally. But really, just go out and play. Like the easiest – like we all say in a dressing room, when things aren't going well, guys, just simplify your game. Yeah. And then it'll all come back to itself. And that's really what Mitch will do, is just simplify your game. Just do things that you do, because you've been doing it your whole life. So don't – change anything, just relax and play and do your thing. But they're all going to feel it. They all got something they've never seen before. So it is a change for those guys in this market, talking about it every day. Now, if you're in anywhere south of the border, this start, you're not even talking about it.
Right.
You're not even thinking
football
about it. We're here. Right, they have to handle a little more. But that's, I think all the guys can handle it. And I think it's going to help us become better at the right time of the year. I'm hoping.
If you were playing tonight, you leave the studio, you go downtown, get your gear on, get on the ice. You think it would be more likely you score a goal tonight or you win a fight tonight? What do you think would be most likely for you today?
I don't know. That's today's lineup or the Minnesota lineup with Willie Flynn in it?
Today's lineup. I think you could win a fight tonight.
Well, yeah. We actually asked John Tavares. Didn't we ask John Tavares?
We said we think Wendell could beat up everyone, basically.
Right now, if you went down and put your gear on right now, you could beat up everyone on the ice tonight in Minnesota.
We did an event the other day, and somebody said, do you think you could still play? Because I'm rounding into shape. And I said, well, we got to take a couple more lines out. We've got the red line out. We got to get rid of the two blues so I can just hang around the one end.
Right.
But it's something that it's fun to watch, and the game's fast. That's the big thing, is how fast the guys think the game, not just because they can skate, because we had guys that could skate, but how the pace of the game doesn't change from your first line to your fourth line. It's all that same tempo, and it's a fast game these kids play today.
Well, Wendell, from one captain to another, I can't thank you enough. If you have any advice for me.
I'm auctioning off my jersey.
Oh, really? Yeah. To pay for your new team?
Yeah. Sure.
That's the move. Well, thank you for doing this. Even though it's the goofiest thing we've maybe ever done on the show, we're glad that you were a part of it. And we always love seeing you, so thank you for coming.
Awesome.
Up.
Great coming in, guys. Thanks, you. Clark.
There's the great Wendell Clark joining us in studio. One more anointment. The kids got to see. It's official. I'm wearing this pretty much every day, all week, rest of the week.
For sure.
That's a lock. And you got to start wearing it. I know you're on the panel tonight. You got the hair going.
I'm not wearing that jersey ever.
At some point this week, you're wearing that jersey.
Maybe Friday.
All right. Thank you, Wendell. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Well, it's a real honor to be wearing this jersey this afternoon. I got the Overdrive jersey on. I'm getting emotional.
You've had a great day.
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
I'm proud to be assistant captains with Noodles and Al's brother and Mulls and Grappler.
Yeah, they all have uniforms.
They could have got just a jersey with no A's.
Al's brother has an A on his jersey.
He's a leader.
He is a leader, and I expect the same type of attitude. He is all ears and ready to learn, and he wants to, you know, grow with the group.
Yeah.
He's technically not even on the show.
Yes, he is. Now he is.
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely. Al's brother is a big part of this program, and as the captain, I'm going to make sure that he is.
Yeah.
Right? I want to make sure that he's in good spirits. And I don't want to see you talking down or demeaning Al's brother, or I'm going to have to pull you aside and have a word with you.
Yeah, that's what good leaders do. That's what they do.
I get that they get jerseys too, but I don't think they needed A's as well. There's got to be some kind of chain of command.
That's true.
Malls took yesterday off. Everyone else, Al's brother did too. And we were all in here.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. The booth was very dark.
Strip the A's off of Al's brother and Mulse.
I might have to. The grappler got himself an A, but he was here yesterday.
That's true.
Yesterday was a game day.
It was a game day, guys.
And we were on the air, so. Anyway, shout out to Wendell Clark. It's always great to see Wendell, and we didn't know he was coming in.
No, that's a very nice, pleasant surprise.
Yeah. I'm sure he was all ears when they said, any chance you could come up and hand out jerseys?
To the Overdrive guys?
Yeah, as if he doesn't have anything better to do.
The thing
but
is,
he was nice
I
enough
was
going to
gonna
do
tell
it.
Grappler to knock it off because he was grabbing the jerseys out of a plastic bag around the corner like a rhino was using his...
Could you hear that or see that?
It
or...
was so loud.
Was it that bad?
I didn't know it was you over there.
I thought
it
was being all sneaky
over there.
Yeah.
I thought...
He looked
left...
at me and goes, what the hell is that noise? And I said, it's over there, and it's the grappler digging around like a rhinoceros.
Yeah, why didn't you go outside and do that? Why would you do that in the studio?
Because
and
the original the original plan was for me to just hand the bags, but I realized it would be just kind of a pain you guys going through the bags to take the jerseys out, so I kind of pulled an audible there.
Okay, that's fine, but I thought it was because we left the back door open and there were like plastic bags floating
like
around the studio.
Yeah, like a homeless person came in and was like setting up shop over there.
Right.
That's what it was.
That's what it sounded like. It was very distracting.
But it was the grappler nosing through the dumpster.
Yeah. That's grappling with a dumpster.
Well,
but he's still, that's A material. I'm not going to strip him of the A.
No. He was trying to at least make life easier for us.
Right. We're up on TSN 4 now, so anybody watching and you're wondering, that's me with the...
The C?
The C.
Now,
up
Barry,
on TSN 4.
Now, Barry's identified you as a cap. Did you not get the C that night?
Yeah, I did. That's right. A couple years ago, when we went up to the Molson Center
we
to watch
A's.
The Colts game.
Didn't we get A's on our jersey?
Yeah, you did. You guys just keep following me around. I'll take care of you.
Hold on. When he had his number, didn't you have your number retired or something?
Yeah.
We went up there. That was in Guelph, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. We didn't get any jerseys that night.
No, we weren't even allowed
like
on the ice.
Official. Like
we weren't allowed
retirement.
On the ice.
Yeah, why weren't we on the ice with you?
Because it wasn't a make-believe thing.
It was actually like a real retirement.
It was actual jersey
I
retirement.
Brought you on the ice with me for my big night.
And do you remember the death stare we got from... What was his name again?
It was Boris Kachuk. He was the captain of the Sioux Greyhounds.
But Sioux's coach was Joe Cirella. Do you remember the death stare?
Drew Bannister.
Yeah, they were there to win a game.
Yeah, they're staring at us like three losers dropping
the puck. Yeah, it was a
comedy
hour. It was a comedy hour.
I wonder if there was a complaint made, and maybe the OHL just said, don't ever do that again, because...
Because they have not sniffed around one time after that.
We have not heard from the Colts.
Barry's gone dark.
It's been a couple of years now, and they never reached back out. That wouldn't surprise me if a complaint was filed.
I would think so, too.
Don't ever let that happen again.
Yeah.
Three idiots that have no association, really, with the OHL anymore. You didn't play in the O.
Nope.
I barely did. It was clearly like a mockumentary situation.
But I think it got some good play.
Oh, it was great for them. They sold some tickets. Don't you worry about that. They were making some money.
Well, it may have been, you know, there were other things that happened that night that may not allow us to be back. So.
Well, yeah, the genesis of the grappler created that evening.
It's more about...
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, the city's probably not welcoming us back, put it that way.
But great to see Wendell in here. Again, it's going to be a really cool piece on the pregame tonight about them playing Sunday baseball back in Saskatchewan when they were all in the NHL. Wendell, Barry Melrose, Joey Kosher, Kelly Chase.
Yeah.
Killer Kaminsky. Like, they were all there, and they're all playing.
Yeah.
And that will be, again, debuting on the pregame tonight. It's 2-0 Houston. And it feels like, again, like we said earlier, I think the safe bet is Washington gets a sweep tonight, and then they're through.
Yeah.
And think
Imagine
about where
Washington
they were.
Sitting around waiting.
For one of those two teams, though. You better be preparing, not waiting.
Well, obviously, but to think of them being out first, sitting around, being rested. And they always make a point. I think they make comments about Bryce Harper.
I was just going to say.
They always say, you know, now in this clubhouse, we've got a cohesiveness, and everyone's just about the team. And it's relaxed, and it's like, I don't know if they're doing it subconsciously, but it's like they're firing bullets, either meaning to or not, about him not being in that clubhouse.
No, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think he left them. He left them at the altar, and he went up the street within the division. Like, he went to Philly, and he was talking a big game, too, when he got to Philly, yeah, about how this is a baseball town, and I can't wait to get back and play in front of a great crowd that loves me and supports me. And he's a prima donna. Like, you can, it's not difficult to figure that out when it comes to Harper. Harper is about Harper.
Do you think they're doing a major league in the dressing room in Washington with the Harper doll? You think it's something like that where they're using that as like to
I would love to believe it, but I don't think they would do it because if it got out, it would be so petty.
But maybe it's not flat out like doing it. I'm saying like they may have had some conversations with that leadership group, like to hell with this guy.
What I wouldn't be shocked is if you were, you know, a fly in the wall after they punched their ticket, if someone yelled out, "That one's for Bryce," or, you know, "Let's win this one for Bryce," kind of like a backhanded slap.
But not even
slap
Bryce. They may have some sort of weird nickname for him, you know, for big money or something. "This one's for big money," or, you know what I mean? Like kind of a backhanded slap for them.
Well, I'll bet you the Islanders did that last year.
For JT?
Wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
That was an even bigger dusting than Bryce Harper. I mean, there's a lot of similarities.
Right.
A lot of similarities. First overall pick. Came up throughout the system.
Yeah, but is Harper from Philly?
No, he's not.
That's the thing. Like, JT at least, you know, sold the notion that he was going home.
But that didn't mean that they accepted that notion.
I get that. But you're right. It does reek of it a little bit because JT the whole year kept saying, "I haven't decided what I'm going to do," you know, and he knew. I think we all think he claims that he doesn't. That he was still making his decision July 1st. But I think he knew in the back of his mind he wanted to land here.
I think he put some thought into it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a rushing type of scenario.
No.
Where I better make a call here in the next day or two about a life-altering, career-altering move. And I would say it's played out well for him.
Yeah,
the Islanders, they went further than him in the playoffs a year ago. They got through to the second round. It was ugly when he went back to the Coliseum for the first time.
Yeah.
But he's back here. He's home.
It's going to be ugly again. It's going to be the same thing this year.
I don't know if they're going to sell out. They get like no fans to that building. None.
Yeah, they'll get it when he comes back.
But they'll go to Nassau, won't they? Can't they? Aren't there split games again?
It's going back and forth. But last time I checked,
Brooklyn,
no one shows up.
Brooklyn doesn't get any attendance. Nassau does. Brooklyn doesn't.
Anyway, caller 5, you can have my assistant jersey.
No, you're wearing that at some point this year.
I don't want to.
Yes, you are. Are you a Foxhole guy or not? It's an Overdrive jersey.
I've got my.
But you're
right
not going to wear it ever again.
Yes, I am.
I think we should hang them in here in the rafters.
That's right. They should go up in the rafters.
Yours can, with the C on it.
I would put mine.
Mine just
right
has
there.
Al's brother's has an A like mine.
That is, I love that.
We're gonna
this is
them.
Quite a leadership group.
Well, I think there is.
Hey, man, I need you guys as a support staff. I'm going to need to lean on you. You, Al's brother, Mullen, the grappler. I mean, I can't be expected to do the heavy lifting every single day.
Yeah, we get that. We get that.
No, I mean, if Al... if
caller Steph, 5, you can have my jersey.
If Steph came in here with an A on her jersey, that's where I would call fake news.
Well, she's no longer a part of the direct show anymore.
She chips in here
around,
and there.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Oh, she's kicking around. Yeah, she's always here. Like, when Wendell's here, she was right
sudden,
in here.
Wendell's here, all of a sudden, this person shows her face again.
Yeah, there she is, right in the middle of everything.
Caller 5.
All right, Ray Ferraro coming up. We'll tee up the Leaf game tonight. We'll get into LeBron, Tigers book, back into the football game last night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.